This is Jack Endy, and you're listening to On the Wire.
Hello, and welcome along. It's episode 23 of On the Wire. We're going to reflect on Royal Ascot, and we have a real bumper weekend of action in Ireland. It's literally been day to day in Ireland of action since we resumed racing post lockdown, and we have, after Royal Ascot taking place so shortly after the Guineas, we've the Derby coming up. We have the Irish Derby this weekend. Fran Berry and Brendan Duke in the house. An awful lot to talk about. We'll have, obviously, the Joy of Six this week will be with Gavin Cromwell, whose horses have been in great nick. And we're going to reflect on the stories of the week. First of all, how are you getting on, lads?
Good form, thanks, Johnny. Just counting down the days to a haircut. So whatever about the Irish Derby, on Monday the 29th, I will be getting a haircut. I don't care if I have to camp out on Sunday the 20th to get one.
Have you gotten a cut at all, or have you been, like, basically since lockdown, you've just had your hair grown away?
Yes, it's instead of a dirty protest, I'm staging a hairy protest. I will only let a professional touch my hair, and right, that the professional will touch my hair on the 29th, Monday.
So your hairy protest at the draconian lockdown measures is actually just to go along with them entirely throughout the whole 3 months or whatever it is and not get your hair cut?
Well, I couldn't get my hair cut, Johnny, unless I wanted to get one of those black market jobs. And I'm not even sure if that was a thing. I think there was an element of trolling in that. People say, oh, yeah, I got a haircut on the black market. But they didn't. They didn't really. It was just trying to wind people up as if we weren't wound up enough. Huh?
Well, this is it. Fran Berry, what's the story you're in?
Oh, it's good, Johnny. Yeah, it's been good. I was in Nace and on Wednesday, yesterday, obviously, and Limerick the week before. And great to be back to race, to be honest. And it's one thing looking at it, even to go on the track, once you get over that surreal feeling, it's just all about the horses in it, really. And I thought it was good news to see owners being allowed in from later in July, isn't it?
Yeah, that was overdue, Juki.
Well, absolutely. Just pile it onto the bonfire of things that are overdue. I'm so envious of Fran getting to go to the races, though. When will we be allowed in again, Johnny?
Yeah, very shortly, to be fair. Fran, how are you finding the presenting role? I mean, yet another string to your bow. Top-class rider, retired prematurely, but kind of with a smile on your face, doing a bit of analysis, writing a bit here and there, probably giving lads a bit of advice on horses to buy, and now you're presenting as well, like some sort of Gary Lineker conversion.
If it lasts as long as Gary Lineker in the game, I'll be doing well. It's different. The team there asked me to do a few days because with the volume of racing, and Limerick, I must say, was all the better for the run, to be honest. First day back on track and back in front of the camera, full stop. But I think I settled into an ace yesterday. It's like Anthony, you'll get better as you go along, but it's a different viewpoint to punditry, and it's enjoyable, but it is a bit more of a challenge, definitely. But I'm off jumping to Tipperary tomorrow, so that'll be another experience.
Back to your sort of roots, as it were.
Exactly. I'll have to remind our viewers that I did actually jump a hurdle once upon a time.
Yeah, there is a survey going around Racing TV emails. I think email to all the subscribers about your favourite Racing TV pundit and all that. So get your vote in for Fran there. But I actually don't think he'll necessarily need the votes. Juki, have you been following his progress there in the old presenting front?
I have, yeah. You know, we mentioned that he was on a couple of weeks ago. The boy's got skills. It's undeniable.
A few horses who had skills. Here's Group 1 Ascot action since we were talking to you last. Four Group 1s here, plenty of chat to talk about, and particularly intrigued to hear what Fran has to say about a certain Penatuo.
Open an account with BarwinRacing.com and receive a €30 or £30 free bet when you have a bet of €10 or £10 at evens or greater. T's and C's apply.
Right, lads. Stradivarius, I don't know. In hindsight, there were a couple of sort of shade of odds on horses running in the week at Royal Ascot. Batash, I think, touched evens, and Stradivarius might have touched evens. And in hindsight, anyone who laid them was an absolute mug. What do you make of the performance, Fran?
Stradivarius.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a shame that we didn't have Kew Garden to take him on this year, but it might have been a slightly below par Gold Cup, if you like, but God, he was very good. You know, I had my doubts about him. I thought he had a hard race in the Coronation Cup in Newmarket, chasing that high pace, and didn't finish out the race, which is not ideal. He'd have a horse to be running through the line on a prep run, but you know, he's a bit of a boyo before it. He knows what he has, but in the race, and the first time he didn't idle, he kicked and stretched clear, and it really, you know, was authoritative. And you know, if he can just find a horse to take him on with Johnny to make him work, it'll be most interesting, but as good as ever, if not better than ever.
What do you make of his Ark prospects if he were to go there?
I wish they'd bring him for the Irish St. Ledger, first of all. I think it's a crying shame that they haven't elected to do that now. Bring them for, no disrespect, but a Doncaster Cup is not testing his abilities. If he's an Ark horse, bring him back for an Irish St. Ledger there, early September, you know, it rolls on about 2-3 weeks after York, if that million race was in play in the Lonsdale or whichever race it is, and give him a go on a classic. I know it's an open age classic and people can get picky of it, but take him out of England and take on Ian O'Brien's home ground, and that's what I'd love to see him do before an Ark. I can't see him honestly winning an Ark. I'd be surprised if he did. I don't think he, you know, if the ground came up soft, he might throw it in, but we've seen a number of stairs over the years try and do it, and it hasn't really been done.
I remember Westerner Juki running really, really well in the race, but you know, this is obviously a big, big task for Murray to go there.
Ah, yeah, and the double OSG putting up a couple of huge efforts in the Ark as well. He was third and fourth in it, wasn't he? Mm. So he could go close. I'd say he would, as Fran said, he'd need it really deep. I'm talking about when the French say, because you have to be careful with French going descriptions, but when they say is it very heavy, they say very heavy, which is actually heavy. That he would need that, because I was talking to a man, I wasn't convinced myself, I was perhaps listening too much to Johnny G about the ground, and he said to me he thought he might have been feeling the ground of the Coronation Cup, so maybe as he gets older he's appreciating an ease a bit more, but he was superb on the day. And I'm not sure that £1 million is up for grabs this year either, because I think that the people who sponsored it have had enough of Stradivarius. So the Irish Ledger would be an option, and go for the Ark, go for it all.
Alpine Star did the job, obviously, in the Coronation. I suppose maybe it's more prudent to talk firstly about the Diamond Jubilee, because Skeptical was beaten in this race, Fran, but if ever to me there was a case of a horse losing nothing but the race, because he was beaten a neck and a head on ground that, as much as it was officially good, there obviously had been a fair bit of rain, and it's funny, I remember when Wayne Rooney brought out his column in the paper in the Sunday Times, people expressed surprise that he had produced these good articles. And I thought there was a snobbery about it, because Wayne Rooney has a thick Scouser accent. He kind of looks like the working class kid that he was. And I think people were surprised that he could come up with the columns he has. And Skeptical, the connections. There was a photo, James Goff, who's the uncle of James McCauley, the owner, sent me a photo of the lads kind of with the horse after Ascot. And they were all there decked in runners and looking like these bang average Dubliners that they basically are. And the story of these sort of real normal grassroots working class people having the favourite in a Group 1 at Royal Ascot and them coming so close, I thought it was just fantastic. And I genuinely do believe if the ground had been good to Fermi, he would have won.
Yeah, I'd say I'd have to with you on the ground element, Johnny. You know, that last 75 yards just found him out. You know, they call the ground good, but, you know, to my eye, he was riding slower than that, and it just become a grind in the last half a furlong. And, you know, Dream of Dreams, you know, gives the form merit. You know, he was only beaten in the race last year. And Hello Hume Zane loves a cut in the ground, and he thrived in it, and he just outstayed Skeptical. And Dream of Dreams, of course, tried to pounce late, but it was a huge run. And to be honest with you, I was I don't know what to make from camp, in that he beating Irish sprinters and ace is easy done. They're not a vintage bunch, and he had to go and take on the English sprinters and do it over there, and on a second run of grass, huge performance. And I really hope he wins a Group 1 for Dennis Hogan and his owners, as you said. And the July Cup could suit him very well. You know, on a normal year there, you'd get fast ground.
The owners, Juki, you know, Dubliners like yourself, and they have also Dalvey, a horse who absolutely bolted up at Goran in a maiden. not long after Skeptical, actually. And now Dalvey actually makes Skeptical look like you know, a horse that was very, very cheap, because Dalvey was actually, I think he was $6,000 or $7,000 thereabouts. Skeptical haven't cost less than $3,000. But they have this modus operandi where they go to the sales, they're willing to take a chance on a horse. But you know, if you're the likes of Godolphin letting these horses go for absolute buttons, and then you've Dalvey, who is basically, they've already been offered good money for him. Skeptical is the fastest horse in Ireland. It's an interesting MO, isn't it?
It is an interesting MO. They might have to find a proxy to bid for them at the sales this time around. I'm available for that gig. But yes.
Would you fancy yourself as somebody who, if we did it like a reality TV show of Juki's week at the sales, would you, apart from it having some sort of an entertainment level, would you have any chance of actually producing some, you know, procuring some value therein?
Oh, I'd say so. Sure, I'm a renowned paddock judge, haven't I?
Yeah. Well, what would you be looking for then? I mean, your budget is probably, we can't give you much. We can't give you anything, actually. So your budget is whatever Brendan Duke Senior can give you.
Oh, right. Well, I mean, you can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear. Well, you can't expect people to, you can, as it turns out, with Skeptical, but you can't expect people to do that. I need a war chest, Johnny. I don't want to be traipsing around the sales in a wet November. What I want is a racing manager gig. That's the gig I want. I'll just go race and tell the trainer what to do. That's I'm totally available for that. And I want someone. Well, of course, if you have a racing manager, you have to have a lot of money, right? So
you'd be like Lord Duke.
Well, the Grimthorpe. I mean, he's a marvel at it, isn't he? Because he really looks like he enjoys his life. And why wouldn't he enjoy his life traipsing around or going around to all the finest race courses in the land, having the nicest lunches, talking about winners after the races? Oh, what a joy.
Dukie, while I'm with you, Pinatubo, I half think this horse wants dropping back in trip. I thought, you know, in terms of the St. James's Palace, it was a bit of a mess of a race in many respects. We had I think we did a very interesting comment from Sheikh Fahad on Twitter about potential team tactics and so on and so forth. This actually after Ger Lyons obviously described, you know, taking on a team in the Irish Guineas, but we'll get to that later. Pinatubo beaten a length, looked like he was all over the winner for much of the race.
Yes, it did. He was just keen early on. I've never seen him as keen, because he's a remarkably relaxed horse. But when Fran was talking about him, Fran didn't mention, but people did mention that they could even see him stepping up to a Derby trip, and I thought there's half a chance of that because he relaxes so well. But maybe it was because it was such a messy race early on, but something lit him up early, and it probably just cost him in the end, although the winner is a serious horse because he didn't have a great trip either, and he probably wants 10 furlongs. But the stretch run he delivered was a sight to behold. I'd imagine he's the best 3-year-old in training.
In full stop.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. In fairness, Fran, 4 from 4, son of Kingman, you know, fourth start, and he beats Pinatubo in the end readily by a length. Perhaps maybe the reflection of the race was on Pinatubo because he'd been an odds on favourite who was beaten in the Guineas, but you have to look at the Johnny G horse and say we have something here.
Very much so, and I'd be with Brendan on the trip that the winner had. Palace Pier, Johnny B, he had to come wide into straight in Ascot, and he got a bit of a bump, and it wasn't all smooth for him, considering he's a lightly raced individual. It was a huge performance, and particularly in the last 50 yards, like, the ground rolled away from you a bit in Ascot down to the winning post, and the length of his stride and the way he extended into the line, it was very, very taken now. And Pinatubo, like Brendan said, didn't relax. You know, he'd done everything a bit on one breath, and when you're racing hard on the bridle up that hill and then trying to get a breeder into him, and he'd kick through a gap. William Buick, I think there was talk that he got a bit of criticism for getting there too soon, but if he didn't take a gap when he did, he was well entitled, and it was the right thing to do, I feel. But he just got beaten by a better horse in the day. He reversed form with White Cheetah, and perhaps he's a 7-furlong horse. You got to remember, when he won the National Stakes, he came alive at the 3-furlong market that day in the car, and William Buick couldn't actually hold him and not to lead him. But I would give him a chance back at a mile with a more even pace, I think. But I'd say just the best horse, and the horse that's maybe progressed the most, Wonder Race.
Let's hear from Gavin Cromwell now, who is the joy of 6 this week.
Favourite race course and why? My favourite race course is Fairy House. Fairy House in the winter, and I have to say I love Belluestown in the summer. Two local tracks to me. Belluestown was very lucky to me last year. Struggled for years to get a winner in it, and we had seven at the 3-day festival there. So that's been you know, it's a place I've always wanted to have a winner in, and we're very lucky. Fairy House, obviously, you know, it's a Grade One track, and it's the home of the Irish National, and it's only up the road from us as well. So it's an obvious favourite. Who's our favourite horse and why, past or present? Well, that's an easy one. Esper Dallin, for obvious reasons, won a champion hurdle and unfortunately no longer with us. One change I would make to racing, couple of changes really. I'd love to open up all industry days or small non-festival race days, free entry for everybody. And I would also like to see Irish racing back free to view on TV for Irish people. I think that would be a huge boost for the industry. Best bet I've ever had. I had a right good bet on a point of pointer called the Spoofer that I rode myself, my first winner, back in the day. And I just got up in the dying strides to win. And I remember being out that night, and I had pockets full of money. I had no idea how much I won in the horse, but every pocket I had was full of money. So yeah, that was a right bit of crack. Horse to look out for the season, Jeremy's Flame. She's going chasing. I think she's going to make into a lovely chaser. You know, she's Grade One form this year. She was second in the Tolworth. I think she's a right good mare, and she's definitely going to make a nice chaser. And finally, best one for the weekend. Unfortunately, I don't have a whole lot at the weekend, but on Monday in Kilbeggan, we'll run a few. I have a horse there, Western Run. He's had a few runs. He's been third in two bumpers and third in the maiden hurdle. He's had a break back in, and I think he's up to winning the summer bumper. He goes well. Thanks a million.
Yeah, the progress of Gavin Cromwell has been something amazing, lads. And it's interesting as well that he's positively embraced the dual purpose action. You see Jessica Harrington as well. Jessica, you know, more or less took on flat horses in her 70s. She wins another Grade Group 1 at Royal Ascot. But Gavin's progress has been quite something as well, Juki.
Oh, yeah, well, we've talked about this before. I mean, just a proper trainer. And if there is room at the top table of National Hunt racing, you know, there's not a lot of room between Mullins Elliott and De Bromhead, but if there is someone to join them, it's Gavin Cromwell. And I mean, you can pick his horses out of the ring before a race every time. They're immaculately turned out, beautifully relaxed. Yeah, he's just a proper trainer.
Do you ever ride for him, Fran?
Once or twice at most. Never had much dealings with Gavin, but actually know him through Paul Carberry's a brother-in-law of mine, so I know him and his family well, just through, you know, family type functions and that up that way. And very quiet, unassuming man, but it's progressive, isn't it? And I read an article this week, I think it was Tony Keane that done it with, he's got a racing manager now, he used to be a Paddy Power
trainer, right,
or something one
time. Oh, Phelan.
Yeah, bloody Phelan good Cunningham,
yeah. Yeah, it was interesting, and you know, he's expanding, and on a line to what Alan King is doing in England, and maybe Gavin's doing now, is either a two-year-old winner or runner during the week to run well and will win in the future. You know, to get them raw materials, you know, maybe you should be going to the yearling sales and buying them back for two-year-olds that could end up jumpers. And look, at whatever he gets, he does very well with.
He's a staggering ability to basically, when he says this is how the horse will run in the race, he's accurate so often. And I think maybe if you're an owner, it's just very frustrating if the trainer kind of gives you an expectation that turns out to be a little bit wayward, and you know he's amazing in that regard. But speaking of wayward, we're going to talk the weekend action now and give you some selections. And I suppose, Fran, let's start off with Friday's action. I know you've been burning the midnight oil, as it were, looking at you know, the Curragh, and we have a bit of Tipperary. Actually, what's Tipperary going to be? Have you even looked at the Curragh? What would you do in your Tipperary car tomorrow at the junction?
Do you know what? I'm just getting into Tipperary now. I done my column for the Sport and Life there today for the Curragh, and Tipperary, I've very little clue, except that I know we've got the Grimes Hurl, which is the first greater race we have since the comeback of racing, some good, decent maiden hurls on it as well.
Well, I was drafted back into a bit of race and post duty this week to do a few spotlights, and it included the Grimes Hurdle. And Juki, I couldn't get over the turnout for this race. 15 runners, 3 reserves. The reserves don't count in every sense, but all of the other runners, even Yanworth, who was like champion hurdle favourite not that long ago, Arnua, who's like a 10 or 12 to 1 shot, something like that. Obviously, top class chaser, more or less on his day. Turnpike Trip, who I know we're going to hear a bit from Will Riley, is a fan of. Aramon topping the weights. It's an unbelievably deep grade 3.
Right. Oh, okay. Yeah. Summer jumping is a complete mystery to me, Johnny. I didn't even look at the cards. But you're doing a fair job of selling it there. I might even watch.
Okay, well, first of all, I don't know why we have you on the show. And second of all, I really should talk about this before we go on and not make fools of us all. But I will say, Petit Mouchoir, right, he definitely wins this at the weights, but he hasn't won long, long before Juki last got his haircut. And that might be a bit of a negative. So I'm going to go with Early Doors here because he's had a crappy enough year of a chasing, but he jumps out to his left. He's back at a left-handed track. And if you go back to, obviously, his win at Cheltenham last year, I think he's very interesting. But obviously, the lads haven't done a great deal on Tipperary, so we might as well move on to the Curra. Now, the Curra starts at 4:15, which is a little bit of a kind of a matinee meeting. By which time, and this is a key thing for FM Barry, because the weather basically is utterly mad and we might all be wiped off the face of the planet by the time I'm 70 or 80. There's the possibility of a big thunderstorm. We're recording this on Friday evening. It's positively American or Mediterranean in Ireland. There could be rain, but this is an intriguing start to the weekend's action at the Curra on Friday evening.
It is, Johnny. Yeah, we've obviously five maidens to start with, and I think one feature of the two-year-old maidens I'm a bit disappointed with or a bit worried by is the lack of runners. That's been for the last 10 days effectively. There's been nice ground and good tracks, and we've had single figure fields, an auction race in Ace. I think there was 7 runners declared the other day. 2 didn't go into the stalls or didn't come out of it at least. And it has to be a little bit of a worry in my mind that are the numbers not there, or is it just a case of trainers only getting horses back into training now that were held back until racing resumed, I suppose.
Juki, what's your take on that? Because I've certainly found that there, in terms of the owner situation, there's been a marked shift over the past 5-10 years, probably because of Dundalk, for owners to like flat horses, but at the same time it's a competitive game.
Yeah, well, hugely competitive, and I suppose if you were looking at buying a 2-year-old, you're thinking, well, we're going to be up against Aidan O'Brien here. Or even I suppose there are auction maidens, but even in the auction maidens, you could run into Jessica Arrington or Jerry Lyons. You'd probably be better off going the sceptical route and going to the horses and training, say, and having some fun with a horse in Dundalk where there's more opportunities. I hadn't noticed, it's an interesting point Fran makes, I hadn't noticed how small the fields are, but that seems like a reasonable byproduct of Ballydoyle's domination.
Yeah, what do you make of the card, Fran?
Yeah, look, it's the last 3 races where I'm most interested in, really. It was hard to put their maidens together. Just looking at them, I suppose on the 5:45 race, the 3-year-old Colts maiden, there's a couple of unknown quantities, but Gerline's runner, sorry, Mr. Wendell, he made a good impression on the first day of the season, effectively a couple of weeks ago at Nace. He could be hard to beat. And I thought there was a standout, Johnny, in the 6:45 handicap. Love Bracelet, trained by Aidan O'Brien. She gets into handicaps off 75. And if you roll back to her form, she was only beaten 3.5 lengths by Albina in the maiden this time last year at the Curra, and ran in the behind raffle prize in the Queen Mary, and ran a decent maiden at Nace, and then shaped a lot better in her finishing position in Newmarket at the back end of the year. Now, she's got to go a mile, but in an exposed bunch of horses, a rating of 75, she could be thrown in as worth chancing.
Yeah, very interesting there. Juki, this is it's a lovely start to the weekend in terms of kind of a nice mixture of maidens and handicaps. What have you made of it?
Yeah, I always really enjoy going to this card. Well, I was just really enjoying going to the races, but we won't go on about that. I thought it was tricky. If I was going to have one bet, I would back Brooke on fifth in the 1 mile Phillies handicap. It's a good race at 7:15. She had a brutal trip in a Leopardstown Guineas trial earlier this month. You can basically ride the race off, although she still, despite missing the break and suffering interference, she showed a little bit. This is only the fourth run of her life. She's by Champs-Élysées, so the step up back to a mile should suit her down to the ground. Draw not ideal, but you can't have everything. She's around 7 or 8 to 1. I'd probably chance something small on her.
Yeah, what do you make of G-Rex, lads? Our old mate Johnny Murphy. What do we do with this horse? I've given up on him now, to be honest, but he's one of these horses that could make a fool of you yet. But he certainly made a fool of Connections because he still hasn't won a race, goes into 6:45.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Very, 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 very mannerly people there. Dukey, you can go first.
Right, if you can get a bet on him to finish second, load the pony.
Fran?
Look, he's ran fine as 2 starts, hasn't he? It was quick ground and 6 furlongs was too sharp from the last day. I thought he ran perfectly well against an unexposed horse and ace, but maybe he just is what he is, and you know, to step up to mile could suit him really well, and you know, a month's time he could end up enjoying a mile around Galway or something. He will win a race or two for them, but he's not going to be the second £20 improver that we thought he might be when he joined the stable.
Before we get to the Derby on Saturday, let's go through the undercard at the Curra, or rather on Saturday. Racing starts at 4:15 with the Dubai Duty Free EBF Maiden. I did some of the races on this as well, Dukey. And before we get the Derby, I have to say the alleged stakes is far more of a Derby look to it really in terms of quality than the actual Derby itself.
Really, I had a look at the alleged stakes, and nothing jumped off the page of me. What am I missing here?
Well, you have obviously Sir Dragonette, who was favoured for the Derby last year. Latrobe, who's won the Irish Derby, Buckhorse rated 111. This race is interesting because Aidan O'Brien has one runner, Joseph has 3, and Sir Dragonette. Well, let's start with you, Fran. I'm not really sure where I stand on this horse at this stage, because I thought at one point, you know, he was unlucky in the way that the race panned out at Royal Ascot. But at the same time, he should be doing better than being beaten by over two and a quarter lengths in a listed race.
Yeah, look, I think Ryan Moore was unfairly given a bit of stick after that race. Johnny, the winner, Mountain Angel, went around the bridle. Okay, he had a better trip through in the rail when it swung out wide. But you got to remember, Sir Dragonette's record at 10 furlongs is not good. You know, he's been beaten by Buckhurst. He's been beaten by Numerian and again by Mountain Angel. He's won Chester an extended mile and a half, and you know, he ran in the, isn't he, been 3 1/4 lengths in the St. Ledger. So I don't think we'll see the best of him till we get him back up to mile and a half plus. I'm actually happy enough to see him in the race, because I think people might get sucked into the Ascot run and form, and I think if the ground stays good, and that's a big if, Buckhurst could be right good price stepping back up and trip.
Yeah, well, he's to give him £3 and he's rated £3 his inferior, but you think he's good enough to do that?
At the trip, yes. Yeah, and he's beaten him before. And I think he ran a huge race over a mile on his decent debut. I think it's probably fair to say Joseph O'Brien's horses do tend to improve a good bit further run, have been doing that. I know Crossfire Hurricane won the Gal Newell first up, but he's probably the exception to the rule. And I just think Buckhurst, we haven't seen the best of him yet by any means.
I know that the Premier Handicap, the 6:15... involves a horse that the two of you are quite fond of. Now, I did the selection for this race in the Racing Post as well, and Ice Cold and Alex, to me, is the obvious starting point of the race. Does he win, though, Juki?
We were talking about this beforehand. Myself and Fran shared the same cliff with Ice Cold and Alex, but I'm done with him after the last day. I know it was over 6 furlongs, but I watched the race, and he travelled better than anything. Race set up beautifully for him, and I thought, right, this is it, he's going to go and win now, and I just think he refused to go through with it. So I of course, what I'm not going to do is back something to beat him, because then I could find myself atop an actual cliff if he goes and wins. So I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to watch the race, but I don't think he wants to go through with it.
Fran, I know you're in a loving relationship and all that. You've kids, happily married. Were you the forgiving type earlier on in your life? If a girl, you know, you parted ways, did you kind of stay loyal? Did you go back? Do you ever go back? Are you still loyal to the Alex?
Yeah, I never fell out with anyone along the way too much anyway. So, no, look, I'd give him a chance. Look, he needs everything to fall his way. It was heartbreaking. I think it was Derby weekend last year when he got beaten that half a length, and he's 4 pounds higher than that. But look, he's somewhere along the line, or you'll always get a run for your money, or he'll give you plenty of emotions through a race. The interesting one besides him, I suppose, if we get to rain, is Romantic Proposal, Eddie Lyons filly.
Yes.
She'd been running huge races over a mile and looked limited, or looked like she might have been on genuine, or maybe doesn't find a lot off the bridle. But since she dropped down to 7 furlongs, that's proved to be a right trip. She's been a revelation, and she's got to step up, but I'd say they might have found the right trip for now.
What do you make of Raven's Pass as stallion, actually?
Hit and miss. Yeah. Wouldn't be keen on buying one, but he gets his winners, and definitely with a little, for a horse of one in the Breeders' Cup, for my money, they all seem to be better with a little bit of cut in the ground.
No Needs Never is interesting in the race, because we've obviously seen him run at Dundalk, and you know, he's a horse who just travels really well in his races. I was a bit disappointed with what he found in Limerick the last day. But before we get to the Irish Derby, anything else on the Curragh card you like, lads?
Oh, do I have a horse for you, Johnny?
Here we
Saturday.
Go. Yes, right, let's get to the race first, so see if I can guess it.
Oh, it's the 5:15. It's a 6 furlong, 3-year-old handicap.
Well, you'll be happy to know I actually did the spotlights for this race as well. So I like the chance for Elusive King for the Ice Cold and Alex trainer. Obviously, Big Gossie was a big, strong type on the all weather over the winter, and probably a bit keen for this trip. Maybe Dark Vader disappointed the last day. You know, the King of Nullifier, obviously very interesting horse by No Name Never. Have I mentioned the winner there?
No, you haven't, and I'm delighted that you haven't, because I think this horse could be an absolutely massive prize. Because if I said to you that on Irish Guineas weekend, Latin 5 ran in a 7 furlong, 3-year-old handicap, went off 50-1 and finished beaten 10 lengths, you would say, well, of course he did. He was a 50-1 shot. How hum?
Yes.
Go and watch the video. He was the last horse off the bridle, was just about to make his run when he ran into a wall of horses. The jockey knew it was game over at that stage and just let him coast home. The fact that he went off 50-1 really encourages me, because, I mean, he was a pretty useful two-year-old, and you just couldn't credit that price on his two-year-old form. So either they thought he hadn't trained on, or more likely they thought, He, as Fran mentioned, a few of Joseph's have been coming on for the run. I'm going to go with that. He's going to come on for the run. To drop back to 6 furlongs, there looks to be loads of pace in this race. You probably mentioned that in your spotlight. He's going to just travel in behind them like a little travelly thing and pick them up late at a price, the Latin Five.
Right, let's go back to your days riding, Fran. Where do you want to be drawn in a big field over 6 at the Curragh?
Well, Brendan, I'll tell you, the whole thing has been turned on its head a bit, Johnny, since the stalls are up the middle of the track, and especially with 18 runners. You know, when it went back in 3, 4, 5 years ago, if you weren't hard against that stands rail come Guineas weekend or Derby weekend, which would have been a high draw, you weren't at the races. But the whole dynamic has changed, and it's very much, with the stalls in the middle of the track, it creates a lot more space, and it's very much pace dependent. We've seen horses win in all directions, and it's definitely more pace than draw bias, I think, now.
Do you like Anthony Ellis in the card, or will we get on to the Derby?
Well, on the Derby team, and I don't know what will win the Curragh Cup, but we got to give Sovereign a mention. He's back out. I thought I'd never see him again on the track, to be honest, at this stage, but he's there.
You thought he'd be retired after his epic Derby win?
Well, we didn't see him since the Derby last year, have we? So, and he hadn't been mentioned much in dispatches, so I just... It's intriguing to see him back out and get a line on where we're at with him.
Yeah, Sovereign's return is fascinating. Dukey, was he given quite enough credit for winning the Derby? Because regardless of what happened on the day, he bolted up.
Well, exactly. He bolted up, and he ran a stone better than any other run in his life. So it has to be a fluke, right? It doesn't have to be a fluke. But with horses like that, I would lean towards it being a fluke. And that's a very interesting race, because Master of Reality runs for the first time since his Herculean effort in the Melbourne Cup. And I assume Wayne Lorden has chosen to ride the other Joseph's other horse in the race. But I think this could be over are done in the betting that Master Reality, other, they're just getting him ready for Melbourne. He won first time up last year. He is officially the joint best horse in the race, along with Sovereign, who his rating should have an asterisk beside it. I think Master Reality could go off a big price, and I'll probably chance a few quid in him in that race.
Before we get to the Irish Derby, which it has to be said doesn't look a particularly inspiring renewal in terms of, I suppose, what you would expect, but it has been a bit of an outlier of a year. Here's what Jim Bulger said to us about his horse was actually going to run in this race, Fiscal Rules. Here's what he said to him before he ran in the Guineas.
We'd be hoping that there's a nice bit of improvement there.
You've got to be thinking of him as a potential Irish Derby horse as well on pedigree, are you?
He could be, yeah.
When you look at the half-sister by Vocalized, won over a mile and a half in good company, and obviously Make-Believe would have a bit of stamina as well.
Yeah. Well, he's definitely better than my last Derby winner.
I don't know where we start here, Fran. Jim Bulger's horses, I think he's his third winner of the season there on Thursday. In fairness, a lot of them have been running quite well. Some of them have been disappointing. Have to say, Jim isn't a trainer that I find the easiest to predict in terms of his horses running, which to me is actually the only negative for Fiscal Rules, because before he ran in the Guineas, I thought he'd, you know, hopefully run a nice race and step up or whatever. But they went no gallop in the Guineas. He ran on lovely. He was only beaten four lengths. It was only his second start. And now he's running in what is effectively a glorified Group 3.
Yeah, there was a lot to like about that run the Guineas, Johnny. He just went a pace increase at the two going to the two pole. He got badly outpaced. And Shamey Heffernan kicked down outside Kevin Manning on Loopy Fernandez. And Kevin might have lost a bit of momentum. Loopy had to go for Kevin to get out. And he ran on well when he did get going. And there was a lot to like in that. If he can do the required step up in 15 days and, you know, a step up and trip and everything, he's definitely a contender. But God, I went through this race several times today and I still none the wiser by the end of it. I think it's extremely open.
Yeah, Dukey, obviously this could be the day for a very, very, very young trainer. And I presume he would be the youngest trainer ever to win the Irish Derby if young Dunica happens to win it with Sherpa as a horse by Zoffany. Rated 102, which sounds a laughable prospect, but it's actually not that laughable because he's bred to improve for this step up and trip out of a Galileo mare by Zoffany and ran a lovely race in his return behind Crossfire Hurricane, with whom he renews rivalry. Do you give him any sort of chance, or are you a Santiago man?
Well, I mean, I would give everything some sort of a chance in this race. As you say, it's surreal, and appropriately enough, in a surreal Irish Derby, Rachel Blackmore has a ride in the race. So, I struggled. Obviously, if Jim Bulger is right about his horse being a better horse than Trading Leather, he'll win. But I'm not convinced about that. Trading Leather was a fair horse.
Why aren't you convinced? I mean, surely the man who trained both should know.
Yeah, but I find with owners, owners, trainers, and jockeys, they lean towards the optimistic side. Maybe right. That's what you have to do.
When your dad gets anyway.
When you're getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning, you need something to keep you going. I mean, basically, they're like druids, aren't they? So if they get involved in a little bit of mysticism, who could blame them? Trading Leather was rated 120, I think. And what are you going to have to run to win this race? 110 or something? So I, like Fran, found it difficult, but it's the Irish Derby, so I'm going to have a bet. In fact, I'm going to have two bets. That Crossfire Hurricane, absolutely love him. His head carriage, he just loves the game. Sauntered through the Gallineal Stakes. I'd say he would find plenty off the bridle, although he barely had to come off in that race. Despite his pedigree, I'd have no worries about him on stamina ground. So I'll back him, and I'll have a little saver on that Tiger Moth, who I thought was sneaky impressive in Leopardstown when beating a shorter price stablemate who renews rivalry on Saturday, actually. I don't know what it is about this horse. Maybe he doesn't show a lot at home because he went off a big price in the back end maiden in the Curra. Shame he didn't ride him in Leopardstown. Again, there are stamina concerns, but he's 14 or 16 to 1. He could go off a massive price given he's been ridden by Emmett McNamara. I'll chance something small on him as well.
with due respect to the stallions, and obviously Kitten's Joy is the stallion of Cameco, and you know we've horse here by Authorized in Santiago, I think, has been very disappointing as a stallion. Authorized Zoffany is the sire of Sherpa, and one of them three could very conceivably win the Derby, which kind of shows that it's a slightly strange race. Santiago, he's an Authorized horse who was rated 94 going into Royal Ascot, Fran. He's now rated 111. I'm not sure what to make of the run of Royal Ascot. I'm not sure what to make of the race in some respects, but he did bolt up and he's only had four starts. He's a typical sort of get on with it Authorized nice horse. Is he good enough to win this?
I think the key to his chance, Johnny, if you take out a 9-day turnaround, or 8-day turnaround should I say, is this rain. I think he really tried for the rain in Ascot, and I think if the ground is fast dropping back to 1.5, based on what I've seen, I think he'll find everything happening plenty quick enough for him. I know he's to pick a Shamey Heffernan, but for me, he's very much weather dependent. I'm sure he'll make it a good gallop to bring his stamina into play if he's the perceived first string, which he looks to be. And but on a fast ground down that hill in the Curragh, I'm not sure he's got the tactical speed. He needs every yard of that 1.6 to get into top gear and in Ascot. And I think the ground is going to be his biggest issue. If the slower, the better for him. You know, it wasn't a bad maiden in Galway last year, and he was second to Alpine Star. You wouldn't think you'd run into something like that in Galway, would you?
No, there's plenty of noise going on there. What's going on in the Berry household at the moment?
It's Dukey, I think.
Oh, is it Dukey? Well, okay, we don't even want to know the answer to that, actually. I'm going to go with trusting. I'm going to put my faith in Jim Bulger here, who's a man of God and a man that really can be trusted in terms of his estimation of his horses. And make believe a stallion who's had a really, really hot streak start of the season. You know, he's basically bred to sort of stay this trip. I think it'll be a massive, massive win, obviously, for make believe. He's by Out of Gold Mirage, Galileo Mare. Love the run. To be honest, I loved the run at the in the Guineas last time, so I'm happy enough with that. Let's hear from Bar One now. Will Riley's going to go through a couple at the weekend, then we'll get to the naps.
It has been a while, but our shops will be reopening on Monday, June the 29th at 10:30 a.m. We look forward to seeing you. In the build-up to this, we have Irish Derby weekend to look forward to at the Curragh on Friday, Saturday and Sunday, with the Dubai duty-free Irish Derby being due off at 7:15 on Saturday, and we are paying each way 150 odds, four places in the big race. There is also the Grade 3 Grimes Hurdle to look forward to at Tipperary on Friday. Along the way, you'd have seen 11 of the 15 runners run at the Winter Festival at Fairy House, which we sponsor, including last year's Royal Bond Novice Hurdle 4th Turnpike Trip. Whatever he does on Friday, he's one to watch out for in the season ahead. He had only Envoi Allen, Abacadabras and Dava Star ahead of him at Fairy House. We also have our latest round of double the odds on first goal scorer bets matches for the weekend. And of course, price boosts, cashback offers, a variety of concessions and much more at bar1racing.com.
Right, Fran, we'll start with you. Nap time.
Nap time at the weekend. Buckhurst.
Right, that is an interesting one. I'm going to take you on there, Fran, but again, it could be one of these instances where, and my selections have been pretty poor for the last couple of weeks, it has to be said, some might argue for the last couple of decades. I'm going to take him on with Sir Dragonette. I'm giving him one more chance. I am the forgiving type, Fran, and if this were a handicap, he'd be £6 better off.
Yeah, why not? Why not? And he's going to pitch up somewhere, Johnny. As I said, I think the trip is just his biggest problem. And just on Sunday there in the 5:15 race, the mile and a quarter handicap, if War Diary pitches up Mick Halford and his trip's fit, he could be very well handicapped horse off 84 as well.
Love to hear that. Dukey.
Oh, what a gambler you are. You're going through a bad spell and you're relying on Sir Dragonette. I wouldn't back him to win a walkover, but he is well treated.
That is my phrase, to be honest, about the walkover, but anyway.
Okay. Talent borrows, genius steals, you know.
This is a bit like Krusty the Clown giving out about his line being robbed by somebody else, and then Sideshow Mel points out, well, you robbed it off somebody yourself. And he's like, yeah, well, that's kind of fair enough. So I probably robbed it anyway. So,
well, that's a fact, and it bears repeating. I have a bigger audience anyway. So the nap will be Saturday 5:15 at the Curragh Latin Five.
I'm gonna nap a horse in a handicap hurdle of all places, but I am a big fan of the yard. I'm actually a big fan of horses that basically are pretty unexposed in races like this. This is a horse called Shan Roe. He's running the Ula handicap hurdle at 2 o'clock, and that is that actually, Fran, you'll be just getting into your groove at that stage. You'll be an hour into the show. You know, I'll have spoken about the first race, King Pellinor against Theatre of War, in a fascinating handicap hurdle. Kevin McManus, Grimes hurdle, Early Doors, hopefully doing the job for Frank Berry. And you'll be saying, why aren't they doing this jumps crack all along, actually?
Exactly. I really enjoyed my weekend. It seems like a million years ago up in Dublin, in Leopardstown, for the Dublin Racing Festival. So it'd be good to get back on the jumps. But I'll take your... I'll take a word on Shan Roe, and actually I'd have to agree with you completely. He hit them three runs in the wintertime over hurdles, and he was very impressive in Limerick win, that four-year-old maiden. He done extremely well to win. He did switch round horses between the 2 and 1 foreign marker, and showed a good turn of foot to get up late on. And what's he running off tomorrow, Johnny? 109 or 105 or something, isn't it?
He is running off 109, yeah, which in fairness to his bumper form as well, he's just very, very interesting. A race full of, I suppose, types that wouldn't necessarily be all that well in.
Yeah, no, he'd make a lot of sense, yeah.
And Juki, before we wrap up, you, as a professional race scorer, you'll be delighted to know that you'll soon be able to go racing, presuming that you can claim ownership of some sort of a steed.
Yeah, but I have a tail in one horse, but I'll only be able to go for that one race. It's like the barbers. I'm not going racing until my fellow race goers can go. I'm making a stand for all race goers, and it should be soon. Are we wrapping up? Are we not going to talk about Sunday, no?
Well, let's absolutely talk Sunday, but I did want to mention the professional race score last week. I reckon you could be a bit like, I remember Dermot Well telling me he ran a horse twice in the one day. I think it was at Laytown. And the reason he told me this was because it won. It won one of the races. Now, I think it finished third in the other. But your little, the horse you have a leg in will probably be running every day under the sun so you can go racing. Am I wrong?
Well, I would like that. She's in at Limerick on Monday, but apparently she needs cutting the ground. I mean, she needs a miracle, to be honest. But if she gets some cutting the ground in Limerick on Monday, she runs. So I might trip down. No, I won't. I'm making a stand. I'm going to get a haircut on Monday anyway.
This is like a bad version of the Tommy Tiernan show, and that the guests show up that I don't know anything about. I've done no prep, and we talk about races that I wasn't sure we talk about. Of course we're going to talk about Sunday, the Pretty Polly Stakes. We have the Rockingham right up your street, Juki, the Greenland Stakes, the end of a bonanza of racing at Flat HQ for the weekend.
Oh, yeah, so the Rockingham and the Greenlands are tied, are inextricably linked, because Skeptical is in the Greenlands, and if he runs, then Make a Challenge probably won't run, his stablemate probably won't run. So that would mean that Make a Challenge might rock up in the Rockingham off a mark of 119. Wow. 119 in a handicap, but it looks likely that he's going to run. Now, he would have to give £21 to the smart Alligator Alley, admittedly £6 of that, sorry, his weight for age. But Make a Challenge is a serious horse, but so is Alligator Alley, and I would chance him on those terms. And Skeptical would be very hard to beat, assuming he shows up for the Greenlands of 4:15.
Obviously a horse that kind of sticks out a bit as well as Centroid is a Dan Silly horse of DK's, who bolted up in a maiden at Leopardstown in August of 2018, and then was 4-5 in a mile and a half race at Naas, was won by Saracen Knight and Ice Horse Vaden O'Brien's, hasn't been seen since, and DK's horse just clicking into form. Fran, what do you make of Sunday's action?
Yeah, look, Make a Challenge, I suppose, wherever he goes, is, you know, on a Skeptical pitches up or something in the Greenlands, which is unlikely, is an exciting horse, and he looks to be getting quicker, Johnny. He could be slightly vulnerable at 6 foreigns if it came up testing, but he's a proper one. I suppose the Pretty Polly, you know, it's all about Magical coming back, really, isn't it? To some extent, and which one runs, Magic Wand or Magical, or do the two of them run? And with a view to the Irish Oaks, I suppose Kay and Pepper making her comeback run for the Harrington team. They thought she was the best of their bunch last year. I know they're pretty miffed when she got beaten or ran a strange race in the Fillies Mile at Ascot. So it'll be interesting to see how she shapes up this season.
Juki, I got to ask you about Edification as well, a horse dear to your heart, as dear to the, you know, prospects of going racing. And he may step up to 2 miles. in the EBF European Breeders Fund handicap of a modest enough 24 grand at 5.45. This horse by Dream Ahead now wouldn't be remotely convincing in terms of stamina. Will he stay, Juki?
Will he stay? He does relax very well in his races. There's all sorts of interesting entries for that race. Willie Mullins has a stack of them. And Jer Lyons, interestingly, has a horse that Sprat got from Martin Mead, and he's in the Apprentice Derby on Friday, but also holds an entry over 2 miles on Sunday. So probably won't run, but there's a stack of interesting entries in that race. I was kind of giving it a pass. Centroid, I'm glad you mentioned Centroid, because I mentioned him last week. He is very interesting because they had him in the sales, and they didn't sell him, so they must think there's something to work with, and he could be very well in off a mark of 82.
I'm disappointed that neither of you has mentioned a horse who I think is an outstanding prospect. Now, I'm not sure if he's going to run in this Finlay Volvo Cars race of 17 grand over a mile and two. But one of the things, Fran, with Aidan O'Brien, in terms of training these Galileos, invariably they don't win first time out anymore. This season is a little bit different. A lot of them are making their debuts at three and they've been a bit rushed. This Napa Valley, he absolutely hacked up at Leopardstown. A horse that basically, another Galileo, obviously, was sent off favourites against Aztec Parade, and in third was One Wabbit One, a horse trained by Anthony Mullins. I'm not sure it was the strongest race in the world. I love the way he did it from the front, stretched out, deep stretch, absolutely loving the game, and a horse that could really progress into a ledger horse or something later on.
Yeah, he looks a prospect, doesn't he? That was a very professional performance on that occasion, Leopardstown Johnny. And Aztec Parade was a bit lucky enough to win yesterday. He only got beaten by Edward Hopper, who would be rated in the 90s if Edward Hopper could run to that. I'm not convinced, but he has a high rating. So that gives the form a good boost, I suppose. And yeah, kind of one of them unheard of Galileos that just could come true. And by September, you'd be saying, God, he only won his maiden in July, you know, or June, should I say, yeah.
Sort of ruler of the world, I think. The interesting thing about him, Duke, as well, on pedigree, he's only a half-sister to, or half-brother to a certain Tiggy Wiggy.
Yes, well, they're doing all sorts of experiments with their Galileos, but he was very good in Leopardstown and was plenty keen early as well. I was surprised at how strong he finished. He does look an interesting prospect. It was remiss of us not to mention him. Well done.
Before we wrap up, thanks very much for listening, and it would definitely be remiss of us not to mention Liam Treadwell. I can't say I ever met Liam Treadwell. I only met him through his winning of the Grand National, and his very, very honest interviews on TV. But I think you can tell, even when there often are, you know, overly sort of nice plaudits to somebody who passed away, everybody clearly loved this man. And Fran, it was just a reminder that life is tough for an awful lot of people. He was 34 years of age. We've had, you know, our share of tragedies in the racing game in the last few years. And this one was one of them. And it really was, it was felt very much across racing in Ireland and England. And some devastation for, I think, the likes of Anisha Williams and people who knew him best.
Oh, yeah, look, there's no words really to describe it, Johnny. It's tragic. You know, I met him briefly once when we were both doing rehab in Oaksey House in Lambourne, but he just, you know, is a fellow that you'd warmed on the TV in his interviews, particularly after that Grand National. And as you said, he seemed to be very, very popular. And, you know, I know that they're way ahead of Ireland, if you like, in England with the mental health supports and that. And it just goes to show you that you can't keep banging the drum enough, I suppose, that there is help out there. And I suppose it's a lesson that we have all friends and we need to keep in contact with people, because you don't know what's going on in their head.
Thank you very much for listening. On that somber note, you know, rest in peace to a jockey who went down in immortality by winning the Grand National, Liam Treadwell. Enjoy the weekend's racing, and we shall be back next week.